Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee scheduled to join us at 7:30. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be in studio with us from 8 to 9 o'clock talking all things Titans. So looking forward to that. In the meantime, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Joe, we've gotten into a little bit of this already, but the Titans fan base and their temperature on Mike Vrabel right now, full disclosures, let me just get things started here. I think Mike Vrabel's a really good coach, and I know that the Titans are 1-2 to begin this season. They had a 7-game losing streak to end last season. So you're talking about one win that they've had around these parts lately, and it's not been good. And offensively, look, offensively, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and I think we may have even brought it up on the show. If they get through another year here and the offense is just a gigantic problem, like at some point you got to turn around and say, all right, well, Mike Vrabel's been the head coach when Todd Downing was the offensive coordinator. Mike Vrabel's the head coach with Tim Kelly being the offensive coordinator. And we can go through the laundry list of injuries and issues and offensive line play, all these different things. But the fact of the matter is, in the NFL, when that happens, the head coach is usually the one that bears the responsibility for it. So I certainly think that's on the table this year in terms of if the offense is terrible all year long and we get to the end of it, at some point you got to look at Vrabel. Now, having said that, I've long believed that Vrabel is a really, really good coach. I still believe that Vrabel is a really, really good coach, and I don't think that there is any sort of hot seat talk right now with him that is valid. I do wonder, like, with the fan base, I think there was a time where Vrabel was walking on water around here, and I think that part of it has probably evaporated a little bit with the Titans fan base based on the win-loss results that we've seen over the course of the past calendar year pretty much. What do you think of Vrabel, where he sits with his fan base, and where that picture stands right now with – the change in dynamic the Titans have seen over the last year?
Yeah, look, I think that a lot of people are upset, and rightfully so, and upset at him, and I think that's fair too. A lot of things go into this. I mean, look, when you're looking at a head coach in this league, first of all, things go fast, and it doesn't take too long not having success for people to be – I mean, was it last year, you know, at some point, people were like, Mike Tomlin? It's like, I mean, the guy has been a consistently excellent coach who has won a Super Bowl for you.
Yep.
And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long at all.
Belichick right now. There's absolutely a lot of noise in New England about, man.
Right.
Is it time to move on? Yeah.
I mean, luckily you got to play Zach Wilson last week, or just imagine what the noise would be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I mean, I think that's all natural. I'm with you. I mean, again, we got to separate the conversations. While keeping in mind, Amy Adams Strunk, more of a wild card than we realized a year ago.
Correct.
But like I said the other day, remember, like, I'm trying to think how I need to say this. I wouldn't be surprised if John Robinson doesn't get back into the GM game. John Robinson got paid. Oh, and, yeah. And I think he'll probably be involved in some way in football. But like, Amy gave John Robinson and Mike Vrabel 5-year big money extensions because it was full belief in what they were doing. And then all of a sudden, the record screeches, which has a lot to do with A.J. Brown, and John Robinson's out. I really don't think Amy Adams Strunk is looking to do that and pay Mike Vrabel to not be here.
I agree.
Anytime soon. So the real hot seat stuff, like his seat right now is icy, okay? But as far as the fan base, which is, I know what we're talking about here, yeah, look, I don't begrudge people being mad at him. And the thing is, in this league, you have coaches who are just coaches, and then the GM is really responsible more for the success of the team, in my opinion, because it's still about players. I'm with Vrabel on that. It's about players.
Right.
But Vrabel, and certainly moving forward from here, but even now, this roster is still a big reflection of what Mike Vrabel has wanted. And so he's made some big mistakes in that way too. There's no doubt that he has made some big mistakes in that way. And I think back to, we got to be great around Ryan.
Yep.
When everybody, including myself, was weighed down on Ryan Tannehill after that Bengals game, and you think about how they were great around Ryan and how they're quite bad around Ryan now. And so, you know, there's a lot of mistakes that have been made, and he's been involved in a lot of them.
David in Fairview on the text line says, Mike Vrabel owns the majority of responsibility, and the reason why the Titans have not done very well, he is one of the most consistent people within the last few years. Another texter says, Vrabel is the best coach the Titans have ever had. All eyes are just on him now. He needs help with the management part of the role that he's playing. This is from another unnamed texter on the text line.
Wait, what? I don't get that one. What does that mean?
I don't know. I mean, that the best coach he's ever had.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that's probably – is that right? Is that accurate? The best Titans coach ever? He's a better coach than Jeff Fisher.
I think he's a better coach than Jeff Fisher. Now, Jeff Fisher did get to a Super Bowl.
Right.
I think he's a better coach than Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Fisher has the Super Bowl that Mike Vrabel doesn't have. But, yes, I think that's fair to say. I think Mike Vrabel's the best coach. Now, he's the best coach in Oiler in the franchise history. I've got an affinity for Bum. Bum got a raw deal from Bud.
He did.
Raw deal, man. It's tough to be in an era when you have to get through the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think Vrabel certainly could still make the case and could someday make the case if he gets things turned around and starts winning again.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Santa in Portland. Santa, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, boys. How are we?
We're good.
Good.
I think Vrabel is the best coach the Titans have ever had. And I think what people forget or just haven't talked about recently is that a lot of this lays on, to me, at the feet of John Robinson. He made some very, very poor selections in early rounds of the draft that didn't pan out. And that he did that 2 or 3 years. And it's going to take Rand Carthen probably 2 or 3 years to fix that. And when you are trying to put a Band-Aid on the hemorrhage that is the offensive line and this weak secondary that I call the weak sisters of perpetual ineptness, fans are fans. And you guys talked about it yesterday. Fans want you to ask the questions that fans want. How come this guy's so terrible? How come this guy's so bad? Fans want things fixed. And they want them fixed now. And if it's not fixed now, they just look for somebody to blame. But I think it's going to take a lot longer than just this year to get all of that stuff fixed.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah, I mean, when you start to divvy up the blame, right, for what we've seen from the Titans, you know, obviously John Robinson, it all starts to come. That conversation starts to crop back up because of what happened last year and the blame that Amy Adams struck, obviously put on John Robinson. Now moving forward, like, I guess my question is, like, when does that stop? Because I think to Santa's point, like, there's still some selections and some picks that John Robinson made and some decisions that he made that the Titans are still paying for in terms of on the field, and it's been a mistake that you've tried to overcome some of those things. I guess at what point do you turn the page on that and you start to look at Vrabel, and I guess to a lesser degree Carthon, because he just took over the job, and start to blame them for what you're seeing out there? And I don't know what the answer to that is. I just that's all for the next little while here. The John Robinson part of this is always going to come up, and I think you can ride that for a while. But at some point, if you're Mike Vrabel, the blame is going to start to shift to you if this continues.
Yeah, and look, I think some of obviously Vrabel's is a dominating personality, you know. And probably always has been. And even going to John Robinson, we know the A.J. Brown thing, right? And Vrabel was right, and John Robinson was wrong.
Yep.
And that was still clearly the main reason he's not a GM in the NFL anymore. But I absolutely do not think that there were too many acquisitions where Vrabel's like, no! And John's like, sit down, Mike. This is my call, you know. I mean, look, I think Vrabel was also very skeptical about the Julio Jones thing,
yep.
Which, I mean, look, I liked the move at the time. We know how it worked out. Some things don't work out. The A.J. Brown move I thought was the worst move of his career and is one of the worst I've seen. So, but regardless.
It ended up to be that.
You're right that you can only ride it so long. Like Ran right now, I mean, he's had one off season. He's had one off season.
Exactly.
And no one over there is ever going to answer the question of who has final say. But Vrabel, you're not going to have Rand do what I just said anytime soon, that I just said about John Robinson. No, right. Sorry, Mike. No, buddy.
Sit down.
Now, I do think there's some probably some give and take, right? And obviously some of the acquisitions are connected to Rand, so, you know, it makes sense. But to put anything on him right now, I think is – I mean, what you can say is that this particular offseason, his first offseason, they should have thought that they should have maybe chosen differently, chosen to pay more, whatever, with the offensive line.
Right. I got a text that says, Nick Saban, arguably the greatest coach in college football history. But in football, it's always, what have you done for me lately? He hadn't won a national championship since 2020. And even though it makes no sense, there's rumblings of moving on from Nick Saban. This is from a texter on the text line.
There, I mean, there's rumblings of moving on from anyone right. basically at any point, right?
Right?
Like you can find a rumbling anywhere. I mean, on this point, like you know, the message board geniuses. Like I've seen like Vanderbilt fans have like coaching hot board. Like dude, yeah. What? What are yeah. you talking about?
I don't know.
I mean, like the fire the coach can. It's like two games in. I mean, I've seen like seriously seen like first seasons for coaches where it's like early in the season yeah. it looks ugly. Ah, shoot, we got Clark Lee coming up, right?
The first game.
I mean, I absolutely saw a rumbling after they lost to ETSU. Yep, end the experiment. I mean,
that's it.
So I mean, there's yeah, like there's no serious Nick Saban firing conversation.
Right.
My God.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. What are your thoughts on Mike Vrabel? What's the temperature of Mike Vrabel with this Titans fan base right now? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game this Saturday at 8 o'clock for our college football game of the week. Alabama taking on Mississippi State, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest college football games across the country and home of 29-degree beer as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll be joined by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, coming up at 7:30. Joe, back on the Vrabel discussion, you know, we've talked about the John Robinson part of this and how long can Vrabel kind of ride that in terms of what the Titans are dealing with right now. PK weighed in on Twitter. Says, John Robinson's echo lasts as long as the Titans are counting on people like Treylon Burks.
People like Treylon Burks. Was Carlos, you think he's like a scab slot receiver now?
Well, no, I guess he's just saying that because he was John Robinson's pick and that decision and the Titans are going to count on him heavily moving forward here, yeah. that the echo of John Robinson lasts as long as you're counting on players like that.
Maybe
I agree to a certain extent.
Maybe I misread the way he wrote that. Yeah. Okay.
I agree to a certain extent. Now, there's also, you know, you've got a quarterback decision coming up with either Tannehill is going to be extended after this year or you're going with Levis. And right now, I'd probably have to lean them going with either Willis or Levis next year. My guess would be Levis, but we'll see. And you know, that's a Vrabel decision, right? That's a Vrabel. That's a Carthon decision.
Which one?
The Levis.
The Levis decision.
Yeah.
Unless it's an ownership decision.
Well, could be.
Sometimes that happens in NFL franchises where an owner says, yeah, we're taking – didn't Bud say – wasn't
he wanted Vince, yeah.
Bud said put the gauntlet down on Vince. Now, that was a choice of franchise QB. They were going to take a franchise QB.
Correct.
I'm just saying, you know, especially if you take it to hot seat. I mean, if Amy said, yeah, you're taking Levis – then I guess you can't like hold Vrabel accountable for that.
I mean, I guess
right?
not.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty that didn't happen.
If
there was one thing I learned about Amy Adams Strunk last year, she can be unpredictable at times. So who knows?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, by the information we have, that one is Vrabel. You know, by the information we have, Willis got taken a year earlier by Robinson, and you know,
yeah,
I don't know that Vrabel was as excited about that. So, there's another. They just as we look at this team, and people have brought it up, we've brought it up. It's like, man, two football players. I mean, you got to have a backup quarterback. So,
right.
But you could have a backup, like I don't know, Trevor Siemian, the new answer for the Jets. How about
yeah,
that one?
Apparently so. We'll see how that goes.
You could have a backup and still have used those picks on football players who might be helping your team right now, and who knows what that might mean. Imagine two football players in the second and third round, one a rookie, one a second-year player on this team, given its holes, what that could mean.
Well, in the bottom, like, look, I said it earlier, I still think Vrabel's a really good coach. And, you know, if the Titans ever got to the decision of moving on from him, like, who are you bringing in that's better? I guess it's going to be my question. Now, having said that, one of the things that I think has made Vrabel really good is they have been under his tenure, they have been excellent in close one-score games. And that has started to go the other way over the last year. Now, is that a Vrabel thing? Is that a talent
around
thing?
Well, we give them all the credit.
I know.
When they win the close ones. So that's where you have to be. You have to look at it down the middle. Okay.
Exactly.
I do think he deserves credit. And we talk about the Vrabel special and all that. Also, he's in charge now when they're losing close games, or also he's in charge when they go lose to Zach Wilson and the Jets, or at home to Tyrod Taylor and the Texans, or you get absolutely annihilated by the Browns, right, or the Bills. You know, I mean, it's all on him, good or bad.
And you know, like, they lost another close game to start the year this year, and it's hard for me to put that on Vrabel because I watched it and the quarterback couldn't hit a wide open receiver. And you're like, but, I mean, at the end of the day, that's the close game record that we've given Vrabel so much credit for. How many of those has Derrick Henry made a huge play, or Ryan Tannehill made the throw that was available to him? Like, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the players and what they do. I'm just saying, like, I do think some of the Titans fans, like having this conversation a couple years ago when he won Coach of the Year, and the Titans went through the stretch without Derrick Henry, and they had all these injuries, and the conversation was, well, look what Vrabel was able to do with everything that happened to the Titans this year. He got them to the one seed. Heck of a coaching job. And it was. Like, I thought it was a great coaching job by Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, no doubt.
But now, like, the results have started to go the other way. And there's, to me, I mean, there's a million different reasons you could point to for why that is. But this, at the end of the day, in the NFL, is a results-based business. And at some point, like, that comes back on the head coach. So while I still believe, personally, that Vrabel is every bit as good of a coach as he was a couple of years ago, the results are what they are lately, which is why you have a lot of people on our text line right now that are really mad and are talking about, like, getting rid of Vrabel, which I just think is a ridiculous conversation. But that's where some of this Titans fan base is right now.
Yeah. And look, again, moving forward, the ingredients, yeah. I mean, he's not just the cook now.
Right.
So that's also, you know, some big choices ahead that will be on him. Gordon from Nashville says that going to the draft, they said they liked two quarterbacks, right? I don't remember that. And we all deduced Levis was not one. I don't remember that either. So when the team deviated from that plan in the second round, whose call was that? I'd like to know.
Man, well, I think there's enough smoke around C.J. Stroud, right, to realize that he was one that they liked.
Yeah, but as far as I never got any clear messaging, and I don't remember any clear messaging that they liked only two, or that Levis was not one that they liked.
Correct.
In fact, I mean, I know that they certainly spent a lot of time with Levis and did all the work on him. So I'm just throwing it out there in terms of it does happen sometimes. Okay?
It does.
Owners own the teams.
Caleb in Mount Juliet says, here's something I will blame Vrabel for. If he doesn't try Skoronski at left tackle when he gets back and actually tries to do something to fix the offensive line, that will be all on him, and Tannehill will continue to get crushed, and Henry will run for 600 yards this year. This is from Caleb from Mount Juliet on the text line.
They need to – I think they definitely need to act quicker this year in trying to find – and, again, they actually do have more options this year than they had last year. So if we're gonna look at last year and daily, week after week, try it out there, fair thing to bring up. Also, the options were severely limited. There are more options this year, and I think that they need to be nimble here if it looks rough. I mean, poor Andre Dillard gets Trey Hendrickson. It's still a vacation compared to the last guy, but the guy's pretty good.
You know, one thing I have noticed, though, Joe, with some of the Titans fan base, and I get a lot of my reaction to the Titans fan base just watching Twitter, because it's pretty funny. But remember a couple years ago when you'd go through the press conference and, you know, Vrabel can be a little bit prickly with some of his answers, and the fan base loves, like, yeah, Vrabel.
Right. Give it to him, Vrabel.
Shoving down the media, all that stuff. And I did notice a couple times when he's done that this year, it's like, oh, Vrabel, just being a jerk up there on stage.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the narrative shifts from the fan base when things aren't going well.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you like that when you're losing, you're a jerk.
Right.
And you like that when you're winning, like, yeah.
Yeah, give it to him.
Does this mean, like, now the Titans fans like Kaharski more? They're on the Kaharski side now?
Maybe.
We'll have to ask him.
I don't know.
Kaharsky approval rating going up.
It's going way up.
As Rabel's goes down. Santa in Portland says, coaching is important, but even the best coach can't teach a fish to climb a tree. Yeah. But again, this coach has a hand in, like, what kind of, I guess if we're going to do this analogy, like, he can get some squirrels.
Well,
okay? Not just fishes.
And the blame on that is going to
fishes.
You did. The blame on that is going to increase as the years go on, right? Like, next year, they're going to have an offseason coming up where they've got a ton of cap space. They have to make a decision on a quarterback one way or the other. We'll see what happens there. But, like, Vrabel plays a much bigger part in that now with the fan base. And in all actuality, like, it's clear, just reading the tea leaves, he's going to have more say, even though I guess they won't say that over there. But, like, you've had basically one offseason at this point where John Robinson has not been the general manager, and you had this new power dynamic here. And the more time that passes with that and the more things continue not to go well, if they don't, then Vrabel's going to be the next one that's in line of receiving blame for that. It's just the way it works in the NFL.
Yeah, and even though they won't say specifically how the conversation got on, I mean, even just the way it's all presented now is that it's a partnership.
Exactly. It's different.
Yeah. It was clearly Robinson than Vrabel.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. We'll recap the Kentucky game, look ahead to Vanderbilt and Missouri coming up this weekend. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6:30 on the road against rival Western Kentucky. Pregame beginning at 5:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and in 93.3ClassicHits.com. Also,
roll
make
tops.
Sure you tune in. Wow, look at there. Make sure you tune in for our NFL pregame show. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 4 matchup against the Bengals and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Robbie and Rex Road here with you on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll be joined momentarily by Vanderbilt coach Clark Lee, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts right now on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, speaking of that, our text line had a lot of texts coming through, so we are getting your texts. We're having a tough time responding
it's
to
clogged.
Text right now. It's a little,
is it a little bit clogged, I guess,
on the text line, so just want to pass that along. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, in fact, some of my responses are not going through. Jake and Greenbrier said Raiden's more likely to get. Oh, all right, we'll go back to that.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Clark, as you look ahead to Missouri coming up, what stands out to you about the Tigers, the season they've had to this point, and the challenge for you guys as you continue SEC play on Saturday?
The Missouri's having a good season. They have a good team. Eli's done a nice job there. I really think that the team is built around to me, one of the best defenses in the conference. I mean, they're disruptive. They're in your face. They press on the outside and they pressure. And we're gonna have to do a great job up front, which has been a weak point for us here in the last few games. Getting runs started, protecting the quarterback. They'll make that challenging. Offensively, the offense, and that's Eli's kind of specialty. He's always had a stretch running game that he's featured and stays consistent with. They've done a great job designing around their receiver, number three, Burden, who's a dynamic playmaker. And their quarterback play has been improved this year. They're finding ways to get three of the ball kind of in every way you could imagine, running, catching screens, catching the ball down the field. That's their opportunity to be explosive. And, so much of it's about how we cap the design touchdowns. Obviously, we're going to have to fit the stretch run down in, down out, but kind of identifying when they're going to take those shots and get the ball to three and being in the position to down them. And if we can do that, I mean, this, again, it comes down to us focusing on Vanderbilt football. If we can do that, we haven't done this in the last three games, but if we do, then we should have a competitive game. And just like last year, we were on a 2-minute drive, stalled out at midfield. We were going to go down and win the game, and we weren't able to finish the drive. So You know, we have what we need. We have to have the process this week in our training, and it has to show up in a way that we play connected and with spirit on Saturday. I'm excited for the challenge, and I know the guys are too.
So, Clark, someone who didn't watch Saturday's game might see, you know, Kentucky 45, Vanderbilt 28. Okay, another rough day for the defense, but you know, two pick sixes for Kentucky plus another one that brings it to the 11, and they score a touchdown on, so basically giving them 21 points. I thought, especially given the personnel losses that you guys had, you lose Mahoney early on the targeting call, no DeRicky Wright. I thought maybe that was some of the best one of the best defensive stretches you guys have had this year in getting back into that game. Where are you there, and what about DeRicky this week?
Well, DeRicky's been back at practice, so that's really encouraging. You know, what we had to decide between is this, what we were doing was, you know, he wasn't practicing, and then he was playing every snap on Saturday. And though he has the ability to do that, at some level, physically, you're putting him at risk, soft tissue wise. So he's had an ankle sprain that he's coming back from, and ankle sprains can be, you know, persistent, especially when you're playing through them. But the concern became more about, you know, asking him to perform at a certain level with top speeds on Saturday without having trained his body that way through the week. And so, you know, we made the decision to hold him out in hopes that we could get him back. And like I said, he was out yesterday, and it wasn't perfect, but he looked better. He felt better this morning. So if we keep on that trend line, you know, he should be available for us Saturday. Obviously, you know, Jalen Mahoney wasn't able to finish the game against UNLV. And, you know, he had a little soft tissue issue that he was working through. And didn't actually do a ton in practice last week, but was available to play, you know, and so the targeting penalty was unfortunate, obviously, and was a gut punch there early, but it also in a weird way did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that's give him the time to recover too. He's felt good this week. So he should be again available and ready Saturday. And I was really proud of the guys that stepped in and I thought played well enough. I mean, we didn't, you know, I said it was a solid performance defensively. We got to go from solid to good. But what I loved about it was resilient, and it reflected the identity of our program. I mean, we were going blow for blow. I think in the second and third quarter, we stepped into performance where we were generating three and outs. We generated turnovers. We did things that put pressure on Kentucky, and we weren't ready to capitalize on those offensively. I've challenged the offense this week because I feel like there's certainly more from a skill standpoint on that field. There's more from a process and decision-making standpoint. But the most, you know, alarming thing to me was I need 11 people on the field making a choice, snap in, snap out. And I felt like we didn't have that spirit all the time against Kentucky, and it showed up. So, you know, we got to redirect from that, and we got to dig in and find it. And obviously, anytime you go through a skid like we're going through right now, there's mental and emotional aspects to this too. And we have to be committed to standards over circumstances, and be training every day to pull the winning performances within us out on Saturday.
Clark Lee with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Clark, you've talked about needing better play from the quarterback position. As a coach, what's the line like in terms of trying to coach against turnovers and bad decision making, while also, you know, trying to leave some aggression there into what makes your quarterback good and make plays down the field? Like, what's that balance like as a coach when you're dealing with turnovers and trying to limit those when you're coaching the quarterback position?
Well, listen, there's certainly a line, and it's, you know, I think no one should take the field thinking that they can't make a mistake. You know, if anything, I want people to make mistakes full speed, and we'll problem solve on the move. I think the problem becomes when, and this is the burden of the quarterback, the offense channels through you every snap. And so, you know, it's your decision-making within our process that independent of the throw, what's the protection, what's the hot read, can I get the ball out on time and in rhythm? you know, picking and choosing moments to try to fit the ball in the tight windows. You know, when I do that, you know, it's on a line. I recognize the urgency of the situation, and my throw reflects the urgency, and I know where I can miss, you know. Again, no one's going to go out and be perfect, but what we want to see is strength and process from that position. And too often we're in like a desperation mode, it looks like, where we're throwing the ball out late under pressure as though the defense isn't on the field. And those things to me are just recipes for what we've had, which is disasters where interceptions are returned for touchdowns and you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on the defense to try to play perfectly, play with a clean sheet, you know, because we're giving up points on offense. So, you know, we want the quarterback to be able to take risks. The risks need to be taken within our process. We want to see the consistency in play first, where we understand exactly what we're looking at, pre-snap, post-snap, balls out on time and in rhythm. It's okay to take sacks. It's okay to throw the ball away. You know, we have a really good punter who can be a game changer for us. And so particularly early in the game, we don't need to be taking risks that put the ball out there for the opponent. I think as you talk about critical situations, critical downs and critical moments where, you know, maybe you're down a couple scores and you need to try to force the issue a little bit, you know, we want to be able to rip it. But to me, this is all about process. It's about strengthening our process early in the game and building that level of trust. Again, not just between coach and player, but player to player, that, you know, we know exactly what to expect. We're all looking at the same thing and have the same expectations for the outcome of the play.
Meanwhile, AJ Swan is banged up, Clark, and you have a very good backup in Ken Seals. For whatever you can tell us, how does it look this week for AJ, the reps and practice and all that? Is it possible that Seals would be the starter Saturday?
Yeah, we wouldn't rule anything out right now. And I think what we're paying attention to is again, it's similar to the situation with Dericky, who's been playing through injury. This first showed up in the UNLV game for AJ. He missed a couple series there, you know, in the middle of that game coming out of halftime. You know, he's been pushing through it. Last week in practice, I thought he had a good day Tuesday, and then it kind of flared back up on him Wednesday. So, you know, it was again stealing him from the process of preparation, which when you're having trouble at the position, just kind of getting a rhythm, and again having that snap in, snap out process dialed in, you want to see guys able to train and practice. So he's on a pitch count right now. We're trying to get it back to where it feels good and healthy, and he feels confident with it. You know, I think he's looked good, but we'll keep an eye on that and kind of hold off on any big decision until later in the week. And you know, like you said, if it's AJ, obviously we have so much confidence in him, and he's such a talented player. Here's a guy that's 19 years old that started 11 games. So he's still so young in his career. He's learning through his mistakes. We know and we've seen the flashes of the brilliant play that he can produce. And obviously Ken Seals has been such a steady presence for us. And, you know, I know he'll be ready if his number's called. And so we'll give him the week to kind of sort it out and to see where AJ is, and we'll make a decision as we get closer to game time.
Clark, looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday. Appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great to be with you guys. Y'all take care.
You as well. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrode. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com in studio from 8 to 9, talking all things Titans, all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Shame on me.
It's that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. The Rex Rant, the Rob Rant. I need to start adding rant for PK. See what happens on that front. We're going to get that figured out. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Karansky?
You've got to think on that one.
Figure it out. So this topic, which is Taylor Swift in the NFL, if it was PK, you know, it'd be like, if you ever talk about Taylor Swift again, this is the NFL. Get out of here, you losers.
Okay. That was not your best impression.
That wasn't very good? No.
You've had better.
Yeah, there was something weird about that. What, I don't
know. Like your voice is recovered from Friday yet.
I am still hoarse from
screaming Friday at officials.
Friday is for nights. That's right. Here's what I want to say about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. It's already gotten – the bitching about it is already more annoying than Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Like, you know, like I mean, honestly, I kind of thought it was cool to see Taylor Swift in the press – in the box – screaming when he got some meaningless TD against the Bears, like anyone gives a crap at that
go
point.
41
like,
to nothing.
Yes, yeah. And Travis Kelce's mom kind of be like, "Who is this again? Like, stop screaming in my ear."
Yeah,
it's fun. Is it going to be annoying? Yes. I mean, apparently all the Swifties are now buying Travis Kelce jerseys.
Jersey sales are up 400%.
Yeah. And so it's going to be annoying because the coverage is going to be constant and all that. I'm trying to think of like a comparable select. Like this is like Madonna, Sean Penn, and now I'm dating myself. But Kaharski's in the studio. Kaharski, you know. Like I'm trying to think of like comparable celebrity pairings. You know, like I don't know, Michael Jackson, Lisa Marie Presley.
Sure.
And I can't think of a. Tell me the best, you know, sports pop or, you know, sports music crossover. Obviously, here we had Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood.
Not quite the same, but yes.
Yeah, not quite global, right. You know, globally. I can't
no
think
disrespect
of one.
To Mike Fisher, not quite the same.
So, listen, it's going to be annoying. Yeah, I mean, it's a great power couple. Don't get me wrong. But, yes, I'm already to the point where all the football – it's like some of the same idiots are like, Mina Kimes never played football. You give me some of your nonsense. Like, shut up, you idiot. Mina Kimes is awesome as an analyst. And so some of it is just like the caveman crap with this. The bitching is already more annoying than the actual thing, which is annoying. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, it's going to be
I mean,
bad.
Kelce – Travis – Taylor Swift. I just call her Travis Swift. Is annoying, okay? No doubt about it. But – the complaining is worse.
I did see the other day the most watched NFL game this weekend was the Bears and the Chiefs, which is amazing when you consider, I mean, it was over from the beginning of the game, but I would imagine a big reason that it was the most watched game was she was there and that was happening at that. I think they had like a 25 rating here locally or something like that. It was crazy. So when you're talking about a 41 to nothing game at one point that ended up being the most watched game of the weekend in the NFL.
You know what we need to happen? We need, for some reason, I don't know why it would be because Travis Kelce played at Cincinnati. They're not going to play him. We need Kelce on his off or idle week and Taylor Swift to go to a freaking Colorado game.
Oh, yes.
It'll be like blow away the Super Bowl ratings. Can you imagine?
Dion, all that stuff.
Kelce, Swift, and Dion in the same stadium? Holy crap. It'll be like live feed on the moon. I mean, just imagine the possibilities.
One thing I have enjoyed, and my wife was showing me this yesterday, my wife, a big big Swiftie, and it's been pretty annoying. But
in general, or this
just
has
in
been?
Just both, but okay. This specifically lately. But she was showing me like there's these videos going around on TikTok of like women that approach their husbands and are like, "Hey, have you heard that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce? It's really nice of her to like put him on the map like that." And the guy's like, "What are you talking about? He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He might be the greatest tight end of all time." And just how worked up some of these guys get. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing about this too in my household is I haven't seen it, but Katie. My wife, recently, before any of this happened, was all into the Kelce doc.
Oh, yeah.
Which, have you guys seen
I started
this?
Watching it last night. Yeah.
Okay.
Because my wife is all in on Travis Kelce now.
Yeah, so that's the Kelce. Thing. I'm like, wow, Katie, like the entire world is now going to watch that doc. But you actually thought it was good before you had. And she's like, she likes Taylor Swift, but it's more our daughter who's the Swiftie.
Are they buying Kelce jerseys because there's so little Swift merchandise available?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
If you've got all the merch, now here's a new piece of merch.
Remember when she was here, like people were like tailgate, like camping out overnight to go get. I mean, you had to go down there, didn't you? Try to get some merch?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember. By the way, I like Nick's tweet about this rant. He says, you swifies want to hear this.
Swifies?
I forgot the T, Nick.
T in there, bud.
Sorry, bud. I got to drag you into the rant.
Change the nickname.
Oh, Kaharsky muted himself. This is going off the road.
Change the nickname.
Swifies?
Swifies.
Swifey left, swifey right.
The thing
right.
about all this, like before the Taylor Swift stuff started to happen, I stumbled across the New Heights podcast with Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce. I kind of like it, and now I feel like it's just going to be really annoying because it's just going to be – people are going to be posting clips all the time. I happen to like Jason Kelce a lot more than I like Travis Kelce.
When you start to date Taylor Swift, is that a time to grow a bad-looking mustache?
That's a great question.
Oh, is he going
– Oh, it was brutal the other day. It was like Arthur Smith style. Yeah. It was bad.
Have you seen Art's mustache?
Oh, man.
That's bad.
It's brutal.
He's being ironic.
Arthur Smith is?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. But it's bad. But, hey, I mean, see, over under 3 months this lasts. What are we thinking? By the time
I mean, there's speculation that's been going on for 2 months, right?
Yes.
I mean, she's not with the mom.
Exactly.
On date one.
Exactly. They're not. There's no PDA, but exactly. That was not let's try a date. And then you're in there like getting hammered and so let's have him go when he scores a touchdown next to his mom. I know that like you're Taylor Swift, you can probably do whatever you want in the world, but I think there's a level of comfort there that's already been established. And you know, I hear you, Robbie, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. If you like their podcast, listen to their podcast.
I do. But
you're
now it's just gonna be all these
you?
Swifties posting stuff left and right. It's gonna drive me nuts. Like I like the podcast in moderation. I don't want to hear Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce every second of my day.
Yeah.
The funniest thing was the high schoolishness of like Mahomes waving up to her
in
the box.
He was waving at his daughter.
Was he?
Yes. This is the crap.
Well, the funniest
that
thing is that they can miscast it into him waving at her. Hey, Taylor.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're all just totally I mean, I guess if you play the Bears, you can be preoccupied with Taylor Swift and be fine.
But. Well, but it's gonna be everything. Like the post-game speech, or the post-game interview with Aaron Andrews now. So Patrick, how much pressure did you feel to get Travis Kelce a touchdown knowing that Taylor Swift was up there? Is that the most pressure-filled touchdown you've ever thrown in your life?
But that's not going to. But it's not going to continue, right?
It's not.
It's
going to get worse.
I don't think the end game. I don't think like stuff like that will continue. Like
the
post.
Underestimating.
The post game.
Underestimating the power.
Let's say it was here in this town. Of course, we're gonna first game be like, "Self Raves, did you put them together?" And he wouldn't probably make a funny joke, but you know, maybe he would. But regardless, so you're saying 3 games later, there's still going to be a question in the postgame presser about Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift and Chicago.
Not by people like us.
Whatever.
But by the Taylor Swift reporter at the Tennessean? Absolutely.
Yes. They're going to come to every game?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's their job. What about Belichick having the best line about it? Of everybody in America.
What did he say?
He said,
I've seen a lot of good Kelce catches, but that's
the best one.
The best one.
I thought that was fake. I hadn't seen him say it. I saw that
tweet.
Real. I'm like, that's not real, right? Is that an Onion quote of Bill Belichick?
No.
God,
he's good
it's
for
real
you,
and it's spectacular.
Got a lot of personality now that everybody's ready to run him out of New England up there.
Oh, yeah. He's a delight.
He's just a joke. He's freaking Don Rickles now that he's trying to save his job.
I love the dated references.
615-737-1025, our phone number coming up next. Paul Kuharsky will join us for the next hour. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, and there's a whole lot to get into this week as they prepare for the Cincinnati Bengals. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.